Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
So last week we learned that greatness is in service, right? Greatness is in service. And this idea that every Christian is the same is false in terms of ranking. Do you understand? There are those that are great, there are those that are least. And like I said, you might not like it, but we don't live by what you like. Are we together? We live by the word of God. So you might not like it, but it's a fact. But the good news is, the message doesn't stop there. You can do something about your status. Are we together? And you can know that before, I used to be like this in the kingdom of God, but now I'm great. That's what Jesus said. You can do something about it. I've heard this when I was in school. I paid attention to this. I heard this when I was in school. Some of these folks who were living their lives anyhow, they would say, all these churches you're doing, you'll be surprised if Jesus comes now, you are going to come, you should be here. Have you heard something like that before?
Yes.
Have you heard something like that before?
Yes.
So you'll be surprised. If God comes now, it's me that will go with you. Why? Jesus said, the prostitutes are entering before you. And I told you guys one message, and that is false. All right? When Jesus made that statement, he was saying, I listened to you.
Yes.
That when John the Baptist came, it was a prostitute and the publicans that believed him. The Pharisees did not. And that's why they were the ones who would be the kingdom, not the Pharisees. Are you seeing it? He wasn't saying, nobody would know. No. You can know. You can know right now, I'm really great in the kingdom of God, that I can be great. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So let's get that verse again. Something I want to show you to inspire you. Matthew 20. Matthew 20. 20. 20. 20. Verse 26. Someone said, all these pastors are being sweet. They're always speaking like Americans. And the person is angry. Amen. How do you expect them to speak?
Praise the Lord.
If they had a black accent, they would complain. If they spoke pidgin, they would complain. Okay, now they are speaking something nice. They are still complaining. Say, Peter. Say, don't look at it. Peter. If they think you were born, you know, nobody was born with that accent. You don't want it. You learned it. There's more of you. You don't even have accent, but there's a way you pronounce things. Based on your environment. Are we together?
Yes.
Okay? Based on your environment. And so if you change your environment, chances are your accent might just change. And then most times you speak like people you admire. I listen to you.
Yes.
If you admire someone, you most likely sound like that person. And there's nothing wrong. The reason why you sound like your mom is because while you're growing up, you admire your mom. But I like your mom. Okay?
Yes.
All right. So Matthew 20. 20 verse 26. Are you there?
Yes, Pastor.
Yes, I want to hear you. Are you there?
Yes, Pastor.
But there's a way for me. I need to hear you. So we can be together in this. So Matthew 20 verse 26. Is it right?
Yes, sir.
Hi.
Hi.
Let's pray. Okay?
That's
fine. Okay. 26. I read it. Jesus is talking. He says, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your what?
Servant.
I want to point your attention to a particular
word. I listen to you. He says, but whosoever Listen to that word. Whosoever. That means it's open. Are you seeing it? Let's look at this. Verse 27. Wonderful. He says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Verse 26. He says, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be what? Your minister. Whosoever. That means anybody can decide. Are you seeing it? Whosoever. It can be you. It can be you. Whosoever. It's a choice. So today I can wake up and say, you know what? I want to be great in the kingdom of God. So what do I do? I begin to serve. Are you seeing it? I begin to serve. It's open. He didn't say the pastor. He didn't say the evangelist. He said whosoever. When you are ready, the door is open. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's wonderful. Whosoever. Whosoever. Great. He said you serve. And you know, one of the most wonderful things is the example Jesus gave of such service, you think should be fasting and praying, even though that is good. But it was domestic. In John 13, he washed their feet. How many hours do you have to pray to wash someone's feet? Talk to me. How many? No, no, some people are not asking your scripture like that. You want to wash plates, so you have to pray. No. I can decide today. You see, that's the example. Tell you that it's a choice. When you decide, I can decide today I want to serve. And the example Jesus gave was domestic. Washing someone's feet. Are you seeing it? And that's why last week I said, those that arrange things, those that are active, those that follow up, those that are doing something. If you're going to follow up on someone, listen, while you're walking on the street, you can say, look, I'm a great person, and God will not be angry. Because you're speaking according to the word. That's not pride. Pride is refusing to believe God's word. But when you speak God's word, you're being submissive. That means you're humble. You can know. At times you go to follow up on someone and the person eyes you. Say, thank God. Eyeing doesn't kill anybody. I'm still great. Are we together? You can know. All right. But there's a popular saying, your work for God should not affect your walk with God. Have you heard it before? Have you heard it before?
Yes, Pastor.
Your work, what you're working, your service, should not take the place of your walk with God. Your fellowship with God. But when you read this Matthew 20, it seems like working for God is more important. Are you with me? It seems like working for God is more important. So, is there a scripture to balance the two? Is there a scripture? I think so. Matthew chapter 5. Say this, I'm full of glory.
I'm full of glory.
Those of us at the back, are you here? Say, I'm full of joy.
I'm full of joy.
I'm an excellent person. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Lord. Say, Jesus loves me.
He's
always thinking of me.
Do
you believe that? You mean he's thinking of you right now? So what's on his mind? If you're trying to sleep here, I can tell you what's on his mind. Praise the Lord. Matthew 5. Let me show you something. Matthew 5. But before that, let me ask you a question. Your walk with God is important. But the word of God is God. Are we together? So your walk with the word of God is important. How you commune with the word of God is important. There are people who lie on the Holy Spirit's head. Do you know? There are people like that. Because Holy Spirit is spirit. You can't see him. There's no office. We go and say, Holy Spirit, did you tell this person this? So the lady is in church, she's a new convert. She just became a Christian. One brother that claims he's very spiritual comes and says, "The Spirit of God just told me, you'll be my wife." And there's no office of the Holy Spirit that she can go and ask and say, "Holy Spirit, did you actually say that?" And so, while we are being led by the Spirit, He leads us through His Word. Because if someone comes to tell you through the Word, if someone says, "Jesus said so, so, and so," there is the office of Jesus I can go and ask. It's called the Bible. Are you seeing it? So the best way, the most confident way to be led by the Spirit is through His Word. Through His Word. And so if you're walking with God, walking with God doesn't mean closing your eyes or being very spiritual every time. Walking with God is just walking with His Word. What does His Word say? Or what does His Word say? Okay, Matthew 5, verse 19. We're going somewhere. Let's read it together because I want to hear your voice. One, two, go. "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so, he shall be called the least." Stop. He looks like Jesus like ranking. Have you noticed? He seems to like ranking a lot. "You are least. You are great." Now he says, "Whosoever breaketh the commandments and teach men so is called what? Least." Are you not going to church today? The guy says no. Actually, church is in your heart. He's a Christian. Actually, church is in your heart. What is he doing? Firstly, the Word of God says, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together." Are we together? That is not a suggestion. That is a command. Now the guy tells you no, he has broken it. And now he's trying to convince you. He's saying church is in your heart. He's teaching you. That guy is what? Lists. Oh, I can know. If you talk to me like I say, you're just, this is exhibiting list behavior. The spirit of listlessness. He might be angry. Who do you think you are? I'm a child of God. But I'll tell you. He says, "The ones who break the commandments and teach men so, they are least." The ones who ignore the Word of God and teach men so, they are least. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now the Bible says, "He that will be chief among you, let him serve." Someone comes and says, "Not about that." Do you know that people like that? You will tell them what the Bible says, they'll say, "It's not about that." That's what? That's one who is least. And he's spreading his message of listness, getting converts. And that's why I tell you, when you listen to the Word of God, learn to agree with God's Word. Are we together?
Yes, Pastor.
Don't argue. Agree. Let's look at this. Verse 19. "If I catch you sleep, you will come and stand and repeat after me. Everything I say, you will say it too." All right, verse 19. It says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so." Now, look at this. He said they will break the least. He's talking about the things that you think are not important, but they are breaking them. They'll be called lists. Are you seeing it? The things that you think are not important, but they are breaking them. You don't go to church, but you pray 6 hours. Going to church looks like list in your eyes. You are list. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The list. Look at it. It says, "Shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called what? Great." And that's me. It says, "Whosoever shall do and teach them is great." So that means he expects all of us to what? Do the Word. Number one. And then notice, he expects all of us to do what? Teach the Word. Oh, so teaching the Word is not just for the pastor now. preaching the word is not just for the evangelist now. He says, if you want to be great, you have to do the word. But don't stop there. You teach the word.
The truth is, if you're doing the word, you teach the word. Teaching the word might not necessarily be coming to church like this and teaching. Okay? If the word of God works in your life, you tell your family members. You tell them, this is what I did. But it worked. This thing is working. What are you doing? You're teaching them.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You're teaching them. But I like the way he arranged it. Let me come here and look at something else. He says, whosoever shall do and teach. Did you notice he didn't say teach? Did you notice?
Pastor.
You think that was a mistake? Or just a coincidence? He didn't say teach and do. He said do and teach. Because doing is number one. You have to live the life before you can explain the life. Abi? No, imagine if I said, I want to teach you how to climb Mount Everest. And we spend 1 hour teaching you, this is what you do, this is what to do. And then I say, any question, say, yes, please, when did you climb Mount Everest? I'm not gone, actually. Should you pay attention to me? No, doing first. And it's not a coincidence. In fact, when it came to Jesus, his doing was always before his teaching. Let me show you something. Go to Luke. Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 19. Are you there? I'll read it. And he said unto them, what things? And he said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God. Did you notice? Say mighty in what? Deed and word. Not mighty in word and deed. If you read the book of Acts, when it's talking about Moses, he said Moses was mighty in what? Words and deeds. But for Jesus, he said mighty in what? Deeds and what? Acts chapter 1. Just showing you stuff. Acts chapter 1. Are you there? Quick. Verse 1. I read it. It says, the former churches have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and what? Teach. When he sent his disciples out in Mark chapter 6, and they came back with reports, let's see how they reported themselves. Mark 6, verse 30. Are you there? Now, if you don't have a Bible, you don't know if what we are saying is true, you just trust us. That's where you're paying attention.
Mark 6, verse 30. Are you there?
If you're there, say, I'm there.
I read it. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had what? Done, and what they had what? Taught. I'm showing all of these things to tell you that doing comes first in the kingdom of God. Doing comes first. Doing the word. You learn to do the word. When the word of God says, this is how you should behave, you do it. And doing the word is simple. It's not complicated. For example, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. You say, yes, sir. All right. What does that mean? It means the opportunity would come that you would use the word. Are you seeing it? He says, be anxious for nothing. What is he telling you? That means something to make you anxious is coming. Are you in this place? Yeah. If he says, be anxious for nothing, it means that very soon you might want to be anxious before you do the word. Even if you're being pressed, even if you feel like complaining, don't complain. Are you in this place? Even if you feel like saying, oh, you're suffering, don't say it. If I'm sorry, should I not say it? Yes. So what should I say? I'm favored. After all, if you say you're suffering, nothing changes.
Externally, when internally, something changes. you will suffer more. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You suffer more. Beg God always do. You don't stop begging. You graduated. You used to beg wearing any type of clothes. Now you wear suits, but still begging. But I still need to about what you know. I have to find it. Doesn't even offer to go to the church. It happens in the gospel. He dresses well. But he's still begging. But then you speak right. He says, do and teach the word. So God wants all of us to do the work. He does. As someone would say, what if I do the work and it doesn't work? For example, I paid attention to this.
Yes, Pastor.
Listen to this. What if I do the work and it doesn't work? Or maybe you're here and one day you did something that the Bible said you should do and it did not work. One day you felt a headache and you said you use your faith. You're not taking that Panadol. You are not. That was 9 a.m. in the morning. 6 p.m. The headache is worse. But you said, no, I'm not going to take it. Before in the morning when they asked you how you feel, you say, I'm fine. Now it's so bad by 6, how you feel? Your head, you can't even communicate. But you say, no, I'm going to do the work. The next day, you wake up. Even when I sleep, I wake up. I'll be fine. You wake up, and it is terrible. Now, you can't kill yourself. And then, the next time you come to church, you're looking at me with suspicious eyes. Say, use your faith, sir. Then you begin to devote yourself spiritually. Why? Because you can't attend people who don't work. What I do, you are teaching them not to keep the commandments. Your communists. So what it didn't work? What should I have done? Nothing. Next time you feel the headache, do it again. Use your faith again. Are you in this place? Yeah, come to me now. Because this is the reason why many people just give up. They think we are all deceiving ourselves here. But because one day, okay, maybe it's not sickness, but one day, you are using their faith for money. Only 2,000 naira, only 2,000. And they use their faith. It didn't work. Now, the pastor says, use your faith again, 500,000. When 2,000 did not work, how would I do 500,000? Listen. If the opportunity presents itself again, do it again. Learn from Jesus. I pay attention to
what you said.
Learn from Jesus. Do you know? There was a time, if Jesus was like man, he would have been discouraged. So let me tell you. I pay attention to
Jesus.
Pay attention now. I told you, I like sharing from Jesus, but nobody argues. Are you listening?
Yes, Pastor.
Oh, we are Nazis, right?
Yes. Let's put it on the camera.
Who shows?
Who can be doing this?
Verse 1.
Mark 6, verse 1. I read it. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. So Jesus came to his own country. That's Galilee, Nazareth. Verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. So Jesus went to the church at that time. All right? Are you in this place? Okay. And he went there to teach. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence had this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? So while he was teaching, he said, where did this man get all of this? Where? Verse 3. Is not this the carpenter? So Jesus was a carpenter before he started teaching. Are we together? In his country, he was a carpenter. But then he went and started teaching. And they knew him. Chances that he had fixed someone's door before. Okay? Yeah, he had done the chair before. So they are looking at him and say, is this not the carpenter?
No, imagine if you, any of you have a carpenter in your neighborhood? Carpenter. You know the way they dress. And then let's say you go one day, you hear the president is having a meeting and he's just with a few guests. And they want to teach with some billionaires. They want to talk about making money. And so you have this VIP ticket and you go in and you sit down. And it's that carpenter that comes and starts telling you. This won't be telling us all these things. Don't you know his mom, his brothers, his sisters? Verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. Just while they were talking, Jesus knew what they were saying. He said, I know. You will not honor me. I know. It's among his own family that nobody honors the prophet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, verse 5. This is where I'm going to. And he could dare do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Wait, I want you to understand the picture of this thing. Pay attention to me. They came to the synagogue and started hearing all the wonderful things Jesus did. The blind could see. Are we together? The lame could walk. And they were angry. And then he said, okay, all of you that are blind, come out. Then they come out. He just told them, are we together? They just heard that he was doing mighty things. Now, he looks at the man who is blind and says, see. And the Bible says, he could dare to do mighty work. That means he tried and it did not work. He told the guy to see. The guy did not see. Those people in the congregation, what do you think they would have done? So don't mind, he just make him a carpenter. Can't do anything. He told the guy, walk! The guy looked at him. You know, walk. If that happened to you, is that not a platform for discouragement? He said, yes, no. Think about it. Isn't it a platform for discouragement? You just finished saying the blind saw in your meetings. Now, and they were even insulting you, they were offended at you, and now you want to heal the blind in front of those wicked people, and the blind choose not to see. What are you? A joke. But you know what? He knew the problem was with them, not him. So he sent his disciples to go and teach. Look at it. Verse 6. This is a beautiful part. And he marveled because of their what? Unbelief. He was shocked. Normally, you tell the guy, get up and walk. And the guy will get up and walk. Now he tells this one in Nazareth, get up and walk. And the guy says, if I can walk, do you think I'll be here? He marveled. And he went round about the villages teaching. Verse 7. And he called unto him the 12. So you know what happened? They knew him. Okay? They knew him. And because of that familiarity, nothing he did would have worked. So he decided to send to them people they didn't know. His 12. They knew Jesus. They didn't know Peter. And so if Peter came and said, see, the man will see. Are you seeing it? But that was discouraging. But in, look at it. Mark 6. Let's go down. 53. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard it was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garments. And as many as touched him were made whole. This same chapter, earlier on, He told the guy who is blind to see. The man refused to see. Now, they are begging him. All they need to do is to touch his clothes and they'll be whole. So that's encouragement again,
yes,
right?
Sir, sir.
But the story did not end there. In Mark chapter 8, he goes to a city called Bethsaida. And the Bible says they bring a blind man to him. You can go and read it when you have time. A man who could not see. Remember, this is two chapters after that terrible experience of unbelief. Now they bring a blind man who cannot see. And the Bible says Jesus laid his hands on the man's eyes. You know what happened? You know what happened? Okay, let me show you. Mark 8. Verse 22. Oh, let's do 23. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And the blind man looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. What does that mean? It means that the miracle was not really perfect. Do you understand? And the guy might have just been saying it for saying sake. Because how can you see men as trees? You could not even see men before. Now you're seeing them and they're trees. Is that not madness? But look at this. Instead of being discouraged, verse 25, after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes. That's where I'm going to. You see, he could have been discouraged after that experience. But you know what? He did it again. He did it again. And the man began to see. He did it again. He did it the first time. The man was speaking something strange. So he did it again. So my point is, if you do the word of God the first time, and it seems like it did not work, it's okay. It's okay. Do it again. Are we together? Do it again. Maybe you were believing God for so and so amount of money, and it got so bad you had to go and borrow. It's okay. That has passed. If the opportunity presents itself again, do it again. Why? Let me tell you something. If I did a word today and it did not work, it's not the fault of the word. There's something I don't know. Are we together?
Yes, Pastor.
And so I will learn and I'll do what? I'll do it again. If you wrote an exam and you did not pass, it's not the exam's fault. Not many people say it's the lecturer, he likes to wicked or he likes to punish. All of us know that thing is not true. If someone is telling you he's a lecturer, you can just say, hey, no, wicked man. But in your mind, you know. It's not the exam's fault. It is you. There's something you don't know. If you go and learn and you write that exam again, you would pass. Are you saying it?
Yes, Pastor.
You would pass. And so if you did the word the first time and it seemed like it did not work, do it again. Are we together?
Yes.
Do it again. Don't get discouraged. No, don't. Do it again. He says, those that do the word and teach the word are great. Greatness is yours. Are we together?
Yes,
greatness is yours. And so he said, listen, I'm going to do the word. I'm going to walk by faith. If the Bible says to love, I'm going to love. I will do the word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say, I'll do the word.
I'll do
the word. Say it again. Say, I'll do the word.
I'll do the word.
Yeah. Yeah. Then he says, teach the word. Teach the word. That means every single person here, if you're here, you can teach the word. You can. It's not just for pastors. No. Jesus, in Matthew 28, said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. It came with the call of salvation. When you got born again, you were given a ministry. He says, go and teach all nations. Oh, look at that. You can teach all nations. That means there's something unique about you. There is. Listen. If Jesus tells you to do something, it means you can. Are we together?
Yes, Pastor.
It means you can. He said, teach. Every child of God should communicate the message. You should. Someone says, but I want to know everything in the Bible first. I don't know so much. Listen, until rapture, you cannot know everything in the Bible. Let me tell you why. The more you see, the more you become.
the more you know. It's an ever-increasing, glorious life. Are we together?
Yes.
Have you ever read a verse, Then one day you read that verse, and it's like you're seeing something there you did not see before.
Yes.
Yeah, because the word is alive. And so the excuse that I must know the Bible first is a lame excuse. When I first started teaching the word, I told you guys, when I went to start preaching, useless doctrine. That's what I was preaching.
If I saw myself today, I would. I told you guys, I thought I was going to tell you, this is my gospel. Went from room to room at MTH. To tell them, listen, the flesh is for Satan. The spirit is for God. I said, do you know man is in three parts? And all of them picked on. Say, yes, man is three. Spirit, soul, body. That's why the battle is about. And you look at me. I said, the spirit is for God. The body is for Satan. And they are both fighting for your soul. That's why we came to save your soul. Is that not the sweet gospel? So let God save your soul. And you know what? They prayed with me. And your soul was saved. But you start from somewhere. Are you saying this?
Yes.
Jesus said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in much. You start from school. But as a junior level, I thought I'm going to start preaching in buses. But at least now I knew something. Jonathan, I'll not be telling them spirits who are good. I knew something. So I was going to start teaching. You see, that's when you start. So I entered the bus at Boundary. I don't know where I have no running there. That big boss, okay? Those are the people we're talking about. The very big boss that you take 17 naira to a driver, because I have those 100 naira transport. So I enter the bus at the back, and then I'll start teaching. Teaching what? The boss. But then you start from somewhere. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You start from somewhere. But he says, you want to be great? You do the word, and you teach the word. Has one God worked for you before?
Yes.
So go and tell someone. Are we together?
Yes.
Go and share the message.
When Jesus healed a man that had demons at Gadara, he told him, go and tell your family and your friends what the Lord has done for you. If the word of God has worked for you, go tell someone. Praise the Lord. When I was still in secondary school then, someone had scared me into heaven. Okay, and I was not born. I'll enter the bike purposely from one bus stop to my house. And while the bike man is driving, I don't think people should do that, but I didn't care, all right? While he's driving, I'll be preaching to him. What was my message? Heaven and hell, where are you going to? But also a conversation. How old was I?
14, 15.
I remember once the guy stopped in front of my house, and I said, now, if God comes, heaven and hell, where will you go? He looked at me, very sad. Say hell. Said, you see? We have to start from somewhere. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
You have to start. You share what God has done for you. At times, for some people, the reason why they easily, you know, they say the Christian life is up and down, up and down, because they don't communicate. They don't communicate the word. They keep it to themselves. No. You communicate, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let me show you something. Hebrews 5. This is the Spirit of God talking to you. Hebrews 5. I told you guys, when I started learning how to walk with the Spirit, I won't do that anymore. Okay? Because I've grown. Okay? But you see all this, putting down all the power and all this stuff. You know who I used to practice it with? My younger ones. When I go back to Port Harcourt, tell them, well, yeah, come to the room. I want to do something. My younger sister, especially my brother at times, will not agree. My sister, she'll come. I said, now. Okay? Don't pretend. She said, yeah. I said, now I'm going to do, take it. If anything happens to you, just receive it. She said, okay. And she too, she's ready. I said, okay, speak in tongues. She got filled with the Spirit early. She said, let's speak in tongues now. And she too, she'll be speaking in tongues. I said, now take it. And then she'll fall. I said, did you pretend?
said no. He just carried me and said yes, it's working. Bible says that thing that you have received, that faithful thing, he said, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I just remember once when I was at home, and then the fire opposite our house, and the houses were made of wood. Okay, the fire was burning. So my mom said, "Open the gates just in case anything happens." We can just so run and open the gate. That was late at night, around 8, 9, 10. My son was really young, 4, 5, and so I went to my room. I said, "Let's begin the talks. Speaking in tongues, okay? And while I was doing that, speaking in tongues, I just noticed something was happening, but my eyes were closed, all right? Something was happening, you know, behind me. So I stopped, only to see my sister. 5 years, 4 years, very small. She was doing... She looked so cute. She didn't stop looking at that. She was walking. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
All right, Hebrews 5. Are you there? Verse 12. Okay. I read it. Listen to this very well. He says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers." You know what that means? In Pidgin, time don't reach, it don't pass. You suppose they teach person. That's what he's saying. So for every Christian, there is a time God expects to start teaching. Are you seeing it? Did you see that in your Bible? Let's look at it again. Verse 12. He says, that's why I wonder people, when you give them responsibilities in church, or you tell them to teach people, they go, "I can't do it." No, let me tell you something. That's an opportunity to be great. Are you seeing it? Listen. Okay. Verse 12. He says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God." He sounds displeased. He's not impressed. He said, for the time, right now, you should be teaching someone. But look at you. People still need to teach you the basic. Who is he talking to? That guy that's been coming to church for more than 3 years. And he's still not teaching anybody. He's still learning how to use his faith after 3 years. Well, if that's your story, no shaking. The reason why you're hearing is so you can improve. Are you seeing it? You can improve. You know, there are folks. Are you in this place? One day you ask a man, "Why did you leave that church?" He's angry. I don't talk about it. Why did you leave the church? Every time I come, the pastor is always talking about me. I don't understand. That's why you left? Say yes. Always talking about me. That's why you left. You should be happy. It's an opportunity to change if it's bad. Do you understand? After all, if he said he was talking about you and it was good, would you not be happy? It's an opportunity to change. Listen, if I'm listening to the word of God,
and I hear something I need to correct, are we together? Okay, let me tell you what. This morning, right, around 10, I was doing my Bible yesterday. And then, after that meeting, he said,
Pursue that which is good. That's what he said. What I was trying to explain was, don't look for evil. If someone did something bad to you, instead of focusing on that thing the person has done that is not right, focus, follow that which is good. Remember the good thing he did and treat him with that knowledge. Do you understand? If this guy, every time I needed money for transport, always gave to me, but one day I told him to hold my phone and he broke it. The Bible is saying, instead of slapping him for breaking my phone, I should remember the good things he used to do and walk with him that way. This morning, I sat down and I thought, oh gosh, I have to really remember all of this. Are you seeing it? No, I didn't go and say, what's the Bible trying to say? It's what make me angry. Should I not talk? You don't argue with the word. When the word comes to you, you choose to do what? To change. It's an opportunity to change. Are we together? Corrections are a good thing. It's an opportunity to change. Now he says, for the time, you ought to be teachers. You should be teaching the word. People should be hearing the gospel from you.
You're not doing it. You don't get angry. You say, you know what? Oh, so God was timing me. When I got born again 6 years ago, He was timing me. He thought after 3 years, I should start teaching someone, and I'm not doing it. Oh, I'm going to change. Are you saying it? I'm going to change. I'm going to be better. So who do I start teaching? You don't come and start, you drag beings. Beings, come, I want to teach you. Come. Because I want to be great. You drag them. No, you start with your younger ones. That's why they're blessed. Alright, we are all going to learn the book of James. Now if they argue and fight, if you don't get this one, tell them to go. There are so many people who want to listen to me. Do you know? Let me tell you something. When I go to teach or to preach, there's a mindset. They want to hear me. Do you understand? And then someone says, but I'm sure it's not true. If someone was fighting and we're breaking bottle and you saw a lady selling orange, you go and meet and say, please, what did they happen? Would you be shy? No. So don't be shy. He says, for the time you should be teaching. Your life is time. In the kingdom, it says by this time, when you came into the kingdom, God expected by 3 years, you will start teaching us.
But you are not teaching, but you can change. Are we together? Yes, you can change. Let me inspire you with this. Let me choose. Lastly, and then we'll close. As a Christian, and this is my own inspiration, seek to be the best. It's possible. Are we together? Yes, you are. Seek to be the best. It's possible. Seek to be the best Christian. Not comparing yourself with someone else. No. You know, what I want to do and what I'm doing is to know the Word of God so well. So well. That's my inspiration. So well. So reading Mark is not enough. I'll read Mark again. But I don't know everything in Mark. And it keeps getting better and better and I'll never stop. When you get born again, there is no appointment that you must be a normal Christian forever. No. You can be great. James 5. Are you there?
Yes.
Verse 16. James 5.
Church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Okay, so he said, thank God. Anytime I feel sick, that's a very bad thing to take from this verse. Must you be sick? That's why it's a question. He didn't say, when you fall sick, call elder. No, he said, is it if it happens? Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
So this is not for you to say, okay. Anytime I see, that means you're expecting sickness. And you don't want the one that would come, that you cannot even call. That's not what you should get from this verse, if you want to be inspired. There's a question you should ask. Look at this verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Question. So what if the elders fall sick? Who would they call? What's trying to tell you? He does not expect the elders to fall sick. That's why they are elders. It's not by age. It's by the word. Don't expect them.
So you have issue with sickness, call the elder. So says, what if elder is sick? Say no, not possible. Can that be you? Instead of saying, oh, in case I fall sick, so you say, no, wait. This one's, oh, can that be me? Yes. See, that's a goal. That's a goal you should have as a Christian. That's a goal. The people that are always in hospital, I know, I understand. All right? But you know what? Can it be possible that in the next 3 years, you'll be telling someone, you know, before they knew me in the hospital, I was their regular patient. Now, people call me for prayer. Is it possible?
Yes.
He says, do the word. Teach the word. You'll be great. These elders are great people, do you know?
Yes.
They're great people. But that's the vision he wants for you. Let me show you another one. Hebrews 13. And as I'm showing this one, I'm going to the pulpit so nobody will say, Shebi, you said you have closed. Hebrews 13. Are you there? Verse 7. Hebrews 13, verse 7. I read it. It says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and what? Forever. He said there are people like that, that when you look at their life, it's a proof that Jesus is the same. Listen, the things they do is a proof that Jesus is the same. When Jesus walked on the earth, did he fall sick? Come on, talk to me. Did he fall sick? Oh, you look at that guy. He doesn't fall sick. He's a proof that Jesus is the same. When Jesus walked on the earth, did he lack?
No.
Come on, talk to me. Did he lack?
No.
When Jesus walked on the earth, did he go and help people? Yes. Then you look at that guy. He doesn't fall sick. He doesn't lack. He's always helping someone. He's a proof that Jesus is the same. You can be that guy. That should inspire you. You can be that guy. But he says, listen, God's plan is that you are great. You do the word and you teach the word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
You do the word and you teach the word. You teach. Say, I have the life of God in me. And I communicate this life to others. Say, I don't just hear the word. I do the word and I teach the word.